All right, time for today's 5 at 5 now, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And Adam, you may fire when ready.
All right, first question for you. I know you're a big concert guy, so I'm curious, what is your greatest concert regret? Now, that can either be one that you missed or one you wish you had missed.
This is an easy answer, too. It's one that I missed, okay. And it was Nirvana.
Oh,
and
yeah.
when I was going to school at Miami, this guy that lived in the floor of my dorm said, "Hey, I got an extra ticket. The Breeders were opening for him." It was the Breeders and Nirvana.
I'm not familiar with the Breeders, but Nirvana, okay.
And so anyway, Nirvana was playing in somewhere in downtown Miami, and this guy had a ticket, wanted me to come, or asked me to come. I guess he didn't really want me. I mean, he asked me to come. He went without me. I didn't go. He lived on my dorm, and so we were sort of acquaintances, but it's not like we were like friends or anything.
Yeah.
So I ended up passing, and I'll see him some other time. And then like a month later, Kurt Cobain died. So I never saw Nirvana. So that would be the one regret. I had a chance to go see Nirvana, and I didn't.
All right.
Yeah. So. One concert I wish I would have passed on, though, and I like the Smashing Pumpkins, but I got to tell you, they were not good live.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. I'll tell you, my concert regret, and I've got a couple, I guess. I'm always a little bit disappointed. I've never seen Willie Nelson. It feels like every time Willie Nelson is around, I either don't have the money for a ticket, or I have somewhere else I have to be that night.
I saw him once at Music Midtown, back when Music Midtown was actually in Midtown and not at Piedmont Park like it is now. Well, I guess is Piedmont Park kind of around Midtown?
I guess, but kinda.
Yeah. So I saw him. He was one year at Music Midtown.
Yeah, I was like, I know Willie Nelson. He was one of the first concerts that opened Cool Ray Field. He was there. Then he actually came to the Georgia Theater a couple years back. I really wanted to go to that one. I had somewhere I had to be that night, I think. And then another one, obviously this past weekend, we had Hall & Oates, Tears for Fears. Love Tears for Fears. Not that crazy about Hall & Oates, but Tears for Fears would have been worth it. But really the biggest one for me and a friend of mine, a couple years ago, we went to see a guy named Pat Green when he played at the Buckhead Tavern. I love Pat Green. Great show. The next night was... The Okey from Muskogee, and somehow his name is escaping me right now. Oh, my goodness. I can't remember the name of the guy, but either way, famous country artist whose name is somehow escaping me right now. Merle Haggard, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was playing the same venue the next night, and they were like $62 tickets, and we both looked at each other and said, should we buy these? Should we go? We said, you know what? Not going to worry about it right now. Not even a year later. I saw Merle Haggard died. I just sent my friend the text message, said, you know what? We should have spent $62.
Yeah. So that's kind of like, yeah, my Nirvana Kurt Cobain, or yeah. I'll see him some other time.
Yeah. But.
And then, yeah, like a month later.
Yeah. Plus, Merle Haggard was old, so I guess we should have known that was coming, but.
Yeah.
Still.
But that, you know, that's the thing is, like, ever since that Nirvana story, if there's been a band that I've really wanted to see, I haven't waited.
Yeah.
I made sure, like, you know, I'm gonna go see them.
Plus, the older they get, you know, the less really sometimes the less interesting they are. Like the Rolling. I'm sorry, there's no part of me that wants to see the Rolling Stones now.
Oh, I have no interest in it either. When they came to like Tech a few summers ago,
because
they're just basically they're just a giant like corporation now. They've got that logo. They hate each other for one.
Yeah.
And I mean they're a novelty act at this point.
Yeah.
Like I loved you too, but I don't have any interest in seeing them anymore because that's basically what they are. And I know they're on tour now they're basically playing the Joshua Tree for its, gosh, what is it? Its 30-year anniversary
Something like that, yeah.
I've seen them probably like five or six times anyway. I don't even know how many, but I saw them a bunch, you know, back in their prime.
Yeah.
I don't need to go see them anymore now.
I was like, I've heard Elton John. Elton John is a fantastic musician, but at the same time, right now, apparently his voice is just shot from all those years of screaming his songs.
Yeah.
So he's not really worth seeing anymore.
I saw him he was at Music Midtown 2 years ago.
Okay.
And because I took my niece, because she wanted to see Drake, but she also wanted to see Elton John.
Yeah.
So we went and saw like a few minutes of Elton John, but the crowd was like belligerent and drunk, which is, it's funny because then we went to Drake and like everybody's just like happy and having a good time. You know, the kids.
Yeah.
But like all the old people that were seeing Elton John, they were belligerent and drunk.
Oh, yeah. Old people at concerts are frustrating.
Yeah. So when we saw him, we saw like three or four songs from Elton John, and I don't know, I thought he sounded okay. But I wasn't enjoying myself just because there was like somebody threw beer on somebody around us, and there was almost a fight. And I'm like, here I am now. I've got to make sure that my niece doesn't get hurt. Am I going to end up having to fight somebody? So we left, and I went to see Drake. That was way more enjoyable.
That's funny. Moving along here, question number two: did UGA dodge a bullet by sending Pat Dye to Auburn?
Instead of him coaching Georgia? Yeah, because here's why. Because Coach Dooley was a great coach.
Yes.
He was, and he did it, you know, honorably. And also, Coach Dooley he's not a guy that you're, and I don't guess Auburn fans aren't ashamed, but Coach Dooley's not around going, Georgia shouldn't play Florida anymore. Georgia shouldn't play Florida and Jacksonville anymore. He's not doing anything to disgrace himself or the school. People still love him. I mean, I imagine that Auburn fans still love Pat Dye, but I mean, at least with Vince Dooley, we don't have him going around suggesting that, like, you know what? We'll never be as good as Alabama.
Right. Well, and I think the great thing about Vince Dooley was a few years ago when his son was coaching Tennessee and came to Athens, he refused to come to Sanford Stadium to watch the game because he said, I'm not walking into Sanford Stadium in anything other than red and black.
Right.
And, you know, that has to be tough for him because it's his son coaching. But at the same time, he's even making those steps to avoid, you know, really offending the fan base. So, but even, you know, ignoring the fact that Dooley was the coach while Pat Dye was the coach at Auburn, I just think, you know, all these things we talk about with Pat Dye, he is kind of embarrassing Auburn. What was the statement he made just last week? I think he said Auburn could play for 5,000 years, or was it 500 years?
500 years. He's right about that. I mean, what he said was like, it's I almost don't even know what, like, why that was even noteworthy, because what he said is true. Like, you're right. Auburn will never match Alabama's history, and all Auburn could hope for is to, like, you know, every now and then you have a good team and you'll beat Alabama, and it's like, it pretty much sounds like what happens now, right?
I get. I mean, well,
they're not going to match their tradition or history, and like every couple of years, Auburn's got a decent team and they win the game.
Yeah, but there's a difference between knowing that and being a beloved coach at your school and saying
and
that.
Acknowledging it. Yeah,
and I think that's one of the things that's going to make because. It's look, we can be open and honest right now and say Georgia is not going to equal what Alabama is doing right now. We know that, but when you actually say it, people get mad at you. I apologize. I did that on purpose. But
like Coach Dooley's not saying it, right?
Exactly.
Right.
And that's
so
the difference.
That's a trade. Coach Dooley came from Auburn. Pat Dye played here. That's a trade Georgia came way out ahead in. There's no doubt about it. And I'm amazed. Practically every home game Saturday when we're at the UGA bookstore and Coach Dooley's there signing books and autographs and whatnot. And I keep saying to myself, at what point do you run out of people who have gotten Coach Dooley's autograph? Because every Saturday, the line for Coach Dooley is still like snaking through the bookstore. And you know, it's like, so at what point do you run? Where, like, is there a point where every Georgia fan has Vince Dooley's autograph? Apparently that
no, probably not.
So he's still incredibly popular and beloved, and he's not doing anything to go out there and make himself look like a cartoon character almost, or, you know, embarrass or disgrace the school. And, you know, Pat Dye's like, we need to move out of the SEC West. We need to move to the East.
Yeah.
So we don't need to play Alabama every year anymore.
He just needs to stop. Question number three, moving along here. We referenced this a little bit earlier. If Fields must go to a non-UGA SEC, I keep wanting to call him Josh Fields, but that's not right. If Fields must go to a non-UGA SEC team, who do you want to take him? Let's say Fields calls you up. Or let's say he called the radio station right now and said, look, guys, I'm not going to Georgia. You just got too many quarterbacks over there. But I'm going to let you guys pick where I go in the SEC. Where should I be?
Oh, my God.
Where
so he has to go to the SEC?
Yes, but not UGA.
Well, let's, when we play Texas A&M in 2019? Well, we play them coming up, so I guess I wouldn't want them there. I guess it'd be just one of the Mississippis. Ole Miss or Mississippi State?
Yeah.
I mean, not in the SEC East where we'd have to play them every year, but just keep them in the West.
Yeah.
So, I can't send them, just let them go to Penn State?
No.
Where he had originally committed?
He wants to stay close to home. He wants to stay in the SEC country, but he loves this station because he lives in Georgia and
right.
he listens and he respects our opinion.
His sister is committed to play softball here.
Right. And that's why he loves us, because we talk so well about UJ softball.
Right. Well, hopefully that's an advantage that Georgia might have.
Sure.
You know, his parents want to go visit their kids in college, and it just makes it, it's just one-stop shopping.
It is. Yeah, take both their kids to dinner the same night.
Yeah.
You
want to see them play? Well, yeah. I guess the sports play at different times of year, so.
True.
That's not something.
True.
But we'll just send him to, I want to do what's right by him. So, since Ole Miss will be on probation, and I think Dan Mullen and Justin Fields would be a good match with the offenses that they run, we'll send him to Mississippi State, but I think he'll do the least amount of damage to Georgia there.
Yeah. Part of me says just send him to Alabama, because they're already going to win.
Right.
So, at that point, what you're doing is you're saying, look, you're just going to win with this guy instead of you winning and somebody else winning.
That's actually probably a pretty good answer, too.
But there's also part of me that thinks, why not just let him go to Florida? Because at this point, do we really trust that they know what they're doing with quarterbacks? I mean, they've had great quarterbacks before. We got Felipe Franks was supposed to be the second coming of Peyton Manning for Florida. Obviously, Peyton Manning wasn't at Florida, but you know what I'm saying. And already they're thinking, he may not cut it. We got to go out and get Malik Zaire. So maybe, let him go to Florida, because I don't think they know what they're doing with quarterbacks right now.
Well, maybe it is interesting with it when you think of, like, Will Grier now is resurfaced at West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Jacoby Brissett ended up at NC State and then ended up a third-round pick of the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
So, they've had some highly touted since Tim Tebow. I mean, they've had some – it's not like they've been recruiting, like, one- and two-star quarterbacks
right.
as they've really struggled at that position since Tebow. But this would definitely be the biggest quarterback signing that they've had since Tebow.
Sure.
With all those other guys in between. So, no, I would still pass on that. But, I like your Alabama thinking is pretty much spot on. I mean, that's kind of what I say about if you have to play them – I would just rather play them in Alabama. Since you're expecting you're going to lose the game anyway, you might as well just have a road game against them, and then that means you get a game at home against somebody else, since it's likely going to be a loss anyway. So maybe since Alabama's going to win anyway, you're right. That's send them there.
Yeah.
Because if you send them someplace where they're already strong as opposed to a place that maybe isn't strong and he would make them stronger.
Right.
Yeah, I think Bama's actually the best answer to a non-Georgia SEC school. Just let them commit there. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I could work with that. Question number four here. I read an article the other day that I'm not sure I completely agree with the premise here. It was saying that the NFL needs a great rivalry like Cavs-Warriors. A rivalry that just means everything and everybody, even neutral fans tune into to watch. And they listed off, like Falcons-Packers was one. I forget what some of the others were. That was really the main one I noticed. My question, though, does the NFL actually need a great rivalry like the whole Cavs-Warriors situation?
No. I mean, supposedly it has some, like the Bears and the Packers.
Well, historically speaking, yes.
Yeah. But, all those NFC – I think the NFL thinks it has them, and it's all those NFC East teams. So Giants and Cowboys.
Yeah.
The Skins and Cowboys. So, but no, I don't think it does. The thing about when you had Lakers, Celtics, and Warriors, Cavs, they're only going to play like twice during the regular season. If they meet in the championship series, okay, yes, you've got Durant versus LeBron, the two best players in the game, are playing for a title. I'll watch it, but that's I still think even with the NFL, it's kind of more. Maybe like the individuals.
Right.
You get to the Super Bowl, and yeah, I mean, you do. You kind of want to see Tom Brady playing in the Super Bowl, even if it is if you want to see because it's you want to see him lose the Super Bowl, but you do want to see him in there. or, you know, Manning versus Brady. Like, I feel like that was the great rivalry. And even when Manning moved from Indianapolis to Denver, it was still Brady versus Manning. So,
sure.
I mean, maybe, yeah, the NFL, it's I think pro sports now, it's more star-driven and less about the team. So, I mean, I can definitely see, and maybe the point with the Packers and the Falcons, then it's because it's Ryan versus Rodgers, not so much Green Bay and Atlanta.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting to me how quickly the narrative changes, because just a couple weeks ago, the whole conversation was around, well, is Cavs-Warriors bad for the NBA? Because it's so predictable, and everybody knows what's going to happen, and nobody else can really touch these two teams. To all of a sudden, now it's after the finals, which apparently people enjoyed watching because of this rivalry. Now it's, oh, well, every sport needs to have a Cavs-Warriors-type rivalry. It's like, well, wait a minute. Just a couple weeks ago, I thought they were bad for the sport. And now all of a sudden, every other sport needs to model that?
Yeah,
I mean, which is it?
I know. The ratings for the NBA Finals are great. There was a 30 for 30 on this week about the Lakers versus the Celtics, and yeah. I think that's what I mean. If you go back and you look at the runs that those Lakers teams had in the Western Conference playoffs, their winning percentage over that period of time when they got upset that one year by Houston, mm-hmm. but they went to, was it like 6 finals in 7 years?
Something like that, yeah.
Their winning percentage in the Western Conference playoffs was better than what LeBron's has been with the combination of the 7 straight that he's been to between Miami and Cleveland.
Right.
So, you know, what's happening now in the one-sidedness where it's just this one guy that keeps going as opposed to this entire team, that happened in the 80s when the NBA was great. You had those two teams meet 3 times in 4 years in the final. It's being celebrated with a 30 for 30 documentary. That doesn't seem to be a problem. So, no, I mean, I don't even think having the same team meet in the finals now is a problem. It's what we all want to see, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, do we want to see anyone in the NBA Finals next year besides Golden State and Cleveland? Unless you're just a diehard fan of some team.
I mean, I would love to.
But do you really want to see the Hawks? No. Come on.
Not the way they are right now. 2 years ago, and I've said this before, I really think that that Hawks team, when they were playing at their peak, could have won an NBA title against the Warriors. I really think they could have. Unfortunately, you lost some pieces. There were some injuries. They petered out by the end of the playoffs. So, no, when it came time to the Eastern Conference Finals, that Hawks team would not have matched up well against the Warriors. But when they were playing at their peak in the middle of the season, I think that would have been a fantastic 7-game series.
And they did play at that point.
They did.
It was a great game.
It was a fantastic game. The Hawks won. That's why I say I think it would have been an excellent 7-game series that the Hawks could have actually lifted a banner from. But obviously it didn't happen. One last question for you, and I know we're kind of getting short on time, so we may have to extend this a little bit. Best and worst fathers in pop culture.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, because this is Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Darth Vader was a pretty bad dad.
But,
although
see,
he redeemed himself in the end.
See, I would almost submit him for both, best and worst.
Right.
I mean, Atticus Finch is a popular answer.
Yeah.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
Good dad there.
I mean, there's, you know, Mike Brady was a good dad.
Eh.
No, he was just okay to you.
It was weird. There was something weird going on there.
Well, what about Homer Simpson? Homer Simpson is the best dad.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's well intentioned. He's kind of a dope sometimes.
The guy who loves to strangle his child.
Yes, he's well intentioned though. But I mean, come on. There's no one beats Homer.
Yeah.
Number one dad. Number one dad. Are you going to think Ned Flanders is a better dad?
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one, but okay, yeah.
I keep thinking too about one guy, but Bill Cosby. Unfortunately,
oh,
his real life has taken
a
bad turn, but from the Cosby Show. Although I get the one thing about the Cosby Show is, and I used to watch that a lot when it was on. It has not held up though over time.
Really?
Not like, you know.
Is it mostly because of everything that's happened with Bill Cosby?
No. This is, even before all this nonsense, if you go back and watch some Cosby shows, it didn't hold up. Certainly not like Cheers does or Seinfeld does.
Hmm.
Or even those old Simpsons episodes continue to. I don't know. The Cosby Show, for whatever reason, just, I'll watch it from time to time. I'm like, really? I used to think this was funny. But yeah, I'm going to go with Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson and Darth Vader, good and bad. Although Vader did end up redeeming himself.
I was about
himself.
To say, yeah, I would almost take Darth Vader as my dad over Homer Simpson.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he did end up saving Luke's life from the Emperor.
He sacrificed himself. Spoiler, he sacrificed himself, killed his boss to save his son's life. I mean, that's a good dad.
Turns out, you know, Han Solo ended up a dad.
Yeah, but was he a good one?
I guess not.
Nah.
Because Kylo Ren wanted to kill him, did. Oh, spoiler alert. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Look, that movie made how many billions of dollars? Everyone's seen it by now.
Yeah, I think at this point, you have to know.
Yeah.
So there's a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You don't like Mike Brady?
No, there's some weird there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about Mr. Drummond?
Remind me.
Different Strokes.
See, I haven't seen enough of that.
Oh. I mean,
before my time.
He took in Willis and Arnold. Their mother was his housekeeper, and she died, so he adopted them. Good
that
guy.
Shows you don't have to be a father to be a great dad.
Right. Good guy. And then he already had Kimberly.
Here's one for you. If you haven't seen it yet, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, there's a great dad moment in that movie.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, all right.
You can't really.
It would be a spoiler?
It's kind of spoilery, you just got to see it.
All right. There you go. Today's 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.